You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
If you get in your Bibles, Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Let me just set up my timer here, otherwise I will preach all night. And I will keep you here all night. Hallelujah. If you wonder why praise and worship was a bit short, it's because I didn't know the rest of the words. So they never left any words up here, so I was like, bow down. Okay, let's praise God. Amen. That was the best part anyway. Bow down and worship him. So if we could have the words up here next time, that would really be a help for me. Amen. I'm not as skilled as you geniuses that you've got it all in your head. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a bit of honesty. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good to be honest. Okay, let me say this now. We're going to look into the name of God. And so I want to say this is that sometimes things that go bad and things that in tough times and tough situations, God can turn it out to good. How many know that? The Bible says all things work together for the good, for them that love God and called according to his purposes. If you're going through something bad right now, can I say to you, if you focus on God, if you give your life to Jesus, if you are in Christ serving God, he can turn that thing around. That thing will turn around and it will come out for your good, because this is the whole really essence of this series, is that in problems, in situations, in trials, God turns up and he reveals himself and says, listen, I know what you're going through, but listen, this is my name, and my name can bring a solution to the problem that you're in. You know him more when you come out of certain problems, certain trials, certain situations. This is not a religion. This is not just a religious gathering. This is not like a social gathering. This is not just man's mind. We're going to do this. This is God. And the Bible says this in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. All the way round shall be 8,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There. This is Yahweh Shammah. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy. I pray that you'd manifest yourself. Lord, we come desperately before you in your house. Father, we are expectant of revival. We are expectant of great things, people to be saved, delivered. Build your church. Father, we just thank you that you reveal yourself to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said. Amen. And those of you that have faith said.
Amen.
We want to go into this name, Yahweh Shammah or Jehovah Shammah. It can be interpreted, the Lord is there or the Lord is present. And so we want to look into that. I want to first say this about the God who loves to dwell with his people. If I said to you, imagine if we read a story about a mother, and there's so many mad stories, there is a story, but this is not something that I've read. It's something that I've just made up. You see a woman and she has a baby, and as soon as she can leave the hospital, she leaves the hospital and she writes a little note and she tears off the paper and she leaves it on the side of the baby where the baby is sleeping. How many know we would not, and she never returns to the baby again. How many know we would not give her the mother of the year? How many know that would be a bad mother? We would frown upon that. You've just had your baby. You didn't bring up the baby. As soon as you was able, you left the hospital, left the baby there and just left a note beside the baby. And the note says, you know what, try to do your best in life. Don't lie. Don't steal, and we just put that there, and you left that there. How many know that's not a good parent? But the problem, let me tell you this now, some of us, we think that's how God deals with us. We think that God made us. How many know God made us? We proved that on Sunday, amen. Some of us think God made us. Some of you say God saved me, and now, but he's really just given me a note. He's given me the Bible. He just left it there. Now, this is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. This is not our God. Our God is not someone who just makes us and then wanders off and there's the Bible, go there. Can I say the Bible is not not the list of what to do and don't do. The Bible is not just a note, oh, this is how to get through life. The Bible is the map, how to find God. How to find God. How to have a relationship with God. See, God wants to dwell with his people. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants to dwell with you. Look back and say, you too. That's right. Amen. Get some of your own medicine. God wants to dwell with his people. We understand that God is everywhere. We looked at all the omnis. Don't make me say them because I mix them up. But we know that God is everywhere. Omnipresent, but there is an aspect of God, there is a part of God where he wants to personally dwell with his people. The Bible says in Zechariah 2 verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, and behold, I am coming and will dwell in the midst, say the Lord. The Bible says that God is saying, listen, I want to dwell where you are. I want to dwell where you are. This is something to rejoice over where God. He says, sing and rejoice. Listen, this is something to rejoice over because where God is, when God is there, this is where there's victory. This is where there's blessing. This is where God comes down and the devil has to move out. This is where we want to be. Listen, this is what we all need. Where God is, where his presence is, where he's dwelling with us. This is where his power, he's not detached from his power. So many times people want the power of God or they want the blessing of God. If you want the power of God and the blessing of God, you need to get to where God is.
That's true.
It's very simple. The Bible says in Zephaniah 3 verse 17, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Bible says here, the Lord your God in your midst. That God wants to come down in the middle of where we are. This is why church is so important. This is why you have so many Christians wandering around, never going to church, not faithful to a church. They hop from church to church. But listen, you need to find a church. If it's not this church, then any church that's preaching the word of God, where the presence of God, and say, I'm making my home there. This is my church. I will be here regularly. I'm going to come and serve God here, meet with God. Because God, listen, God wants to dwell in the midst of his people. But more than church, God wants to be with you. Individually. How many know we don't leave here Sunday night, Wednesday? It's not, how many know Sunday night we didn't leave here, shut the door, the lights went off, and God was just here by himself? Waiting for us to come, and he's like, oh, the lights turned on, the ushers came in. He's like, yeah. No, he goes with you. He's in our midst. This is what he wants. He didn't just birth you and then leave you a note. This is what I want you to do. Go do this, don't do that. We see this perfected, say perfected, in Jesus. This is what it is, perfected in Jesus. You got to understand that Jesus is always the end game when we look at all scripture. The Bible says this, Isaiah 7 verse 14, many of you know it. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name. I thought you'd shout me down, man. And his name is?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. This is what he shall be called. This is one of the titles of Jesus. What does this mean? God is with us. God is with us. The Bible says that Jesus, now we know the most famous scripture most of us know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And so we understand that. What that is that God, think about this now, that God wanted to dwell with us and save us, that he personally came down. Emmanuel was with us. And now that we're saved, we have, how many of you are saved here? You're saved, you're born again, you love Jesus. God is with you. God is with you. Is that not something to be happy about? Is that not something to rejoice about? Is that not something that even in the midst of a trial would make you think, but God is with me? Yeah, I may be broke right now, but God is with me. Yeah, I may be persecuted right now, but God is with me. Listen, doesn't matter. This is going to be difficult. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but God is with me. This is what makes the difference. Listen, if you're a Christian and God is with you and it makes no difference to your situation, I don't want that type of God. I don't want to. What kind of God is that? That he can be with me and nothing don't change. What kind of God is that? That my problems are bigger than him. Listen, I'm not going to bow down and worship a God like that. Sing, no, bow down. I'm not worshiping a God who's not bigger, better, more than me. He's worthy. Listen, my God is worthy to be praised. The God of the Bible is way bigger. He transcends all of those things. He is. He has all dominion, power. The Bible says that Emmanuel is with us. Think about this, that God is with us. This is one of God's plans. He says, listen, I want to be where you are. I want to be in fellowship with you. Where are you? Where are you going? Come on. He wants that. In the scripture that I read before, it says the Mighty One will save. He said he's in our midst. He will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Think about it. He's going to rejoice over you. He likes to hang with you. He's into you. That's amazing. That's amazing. God likes to hang with you, man. Listen, some people, let's be honest, some people we just don't want to hang with. We love them, praise God, but you know, it's just like on a limited scale of time, that is, not love. Sometimes you just got to hang with people, you just got to help people. I mean, you just got to help people. I mean, you just got to love everybody. People think, oh, love and like is the same thing. Listen, there are some people you might not like, you've got to love them. You got to love everybody. So about like, sometimes maybe I'm out of shape, that's why I find it hard to like some people. But listen, I still got to love them. But God says, listen, I like being in your prayer. I want to come down and dwell with you. I rejoice over you. I will save you. I'm in your midst. He said he will quiet you with his love. My days. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's amazing. See, the more and more we look at this, it's like, wow, God really wants to be with me. God really is into me, man. God really wants to, you know, it's not just like, well, I made you, so I better save you, but don't come back here. That's not God. We see even from the very beginning, remember we looked into it when we were talking about the names of God, that the Bible says that he was walking in the cool breeze of the day. He's just walking around with Adam. Adam, where you at? What should we do today, man? Listen, that's God.
Yeah, yeah.
That he wants to spend time with you. This is what Jesus says. John 14 verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me. How many love Jesus?
Yes.
Then this is you. He will keep my words. How many know we've got to keep his words if we love him? God is good. He says, and my Father will love him. Says, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him or her and make our home with him. The Bible says that if you believe in Jesus, love Jesus, you're trying to obey his word, you're saved. The Bible says, Jesus says, listen, me and the Father are going to come and make our home with you. We're going to come and make our home with you. What this word means in home, it means a place where you remain, you stay. It's not that God is going to come and visit you. You know, we speak about, we need a visitation. And I understand that. I've used that word. I'm not saying I'm never going to use that word again because you might have me use it. And then, I thought you said, no, I'm not saying it's not a doctrine. Can't use that word. But what I'm saying is I don't want just God to visit. I want him to live with me. I want him to be home, build his home with me. This is what I want. I want him to go everywhere with me. I don't want him to like now and again, hey, I'll see you next year, Courtney. No. I want God. This is what he says. This is a promise. You can claim this promise, church, that the Son and the Father will come and the Holy Spirit as well. problem is this, is that when this text was written, this is in the book of Ezekiel. Now, those of you that are Bible students will know that Ezekiel is a prophet to the children of Israel when they're in Babylon. Now, we understand the cycle of the children of Israel. We understand that we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Israel has 12 sons, so to speak, and then he has the 12 tribes. And then those 12 tribes go into Egypt. They come out of Egypt. Moses leads them out, Joshua. Then they become judges. Then they have a king, and then obviously we understand King Saul, King David, and then King Solomon, and then his sons. His son divides the kingdom. So now we have Judah. And now we have Israel, those two kingdoms. Israel kingdom, basically 100 years before the Judah goes to Babylon, they're wiped out by the Assyrians, Assyria. But then this kingdom has gone through all its judges, its kings, and now they've been taken into Babylon. I preached on it recently. I can't remember what, but I did. And so now they're at the, listen, this is a bad situation, man. This is where they are. This is when you read Ezekiel. This is where Ezekiel is speaking to a people that have no longer got a king or a kingdom. No longer in their city. No longer in their home country. They've been pushed down. They're in a bad situation. He's speaking to a people whose actions and disobedience have brought them to desolation. What it's saying is when our actions, who it speaks to, is sometimes when our actions, the things that we do, bring us to a bad place. How many know that sometimes our actions can bring us to a bad place? This is what it's saying is that, I was thinking about this. This is like living in a house where God will not dwell anymore. Living in a house where God not dwell anymore. And you know what we explain that is? That is religion and tradition. When all you cling to is your religious tradition, you can go to churches all up and down this land, and God is not there, it's just religious tradition. I remember going to a church and I was talking to the people in the church, and they were more enthusiastic and protective about the building than worrying about souls coming into the building and getting saved. Because they had not seen anybody saved for I don't know how long, a long time. And so now it's all about the building. It's all about, oh, this building was here from 18. Listen, it doesn't matter about a building. God did not come down. God did not send Jesus down just so that we could have big buildings. What he wants is people. But what happened is over the period of time, you no longer have God dwelling with you. You no longer compete. You're no longer pushing and coming against the flesh to have God dwell with you. And so all you do is you have a religious tradition. You can see this all over the world. There are religious traditions. The burning of incense and the wearing of certain clothes. All of those things that have nothing to do with the Bible. You do not see Jesus telling us to do none of those things. That may upset you, but listen, that you get your Bible, you show me where it says it in the Bible. You show me where Jesus institutes any of those things. They're not there. And so what we see is a religion, but before we start to think about, yeah, that church and that tradition and that we can be the same, because we have our own traditions. We have traditions. We have a tradition to start service with praise and worship. That's a tradition. To preach the word, to do offering, that's a tradition. We have a tradition of outreach and our tradition of conference and our tradition of revival and concerts. We can have a tradition. See, all of those things, people could be like excited, taking time off for conference, but really and truly, it's like an event. They're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about God speaking to them or touching them or changing their marriage. They're just thinking, hey, it's going to be a conference. Maybe you're single. You're like, hey, there's guys at conference. People, hey, we're going to have a concert. People just turn up to a concert anyhow. Yes. Tradition, I'll turn up because it's a tradition. I better just turn up. Hey, have you got any music? Oh, yeah. Don't say amen, just say ouch. So many traditions. See, God allowed them to be removed from Jerusalem. Because they removed God from their lives. See, when you remove God from your life, really, eventually your religion is going to fall apart. They're in Jerusalem offering things and doing things, and they look really religious. They're doing all this stuff. But let me tell you this now. There was no God. They've left God. They're doing things that are destroying God. They're doing things that have nothing to do with God. This is how it is many times. Tradition. Because you hold on to that because that's all you have. The Bible says in Psalms 135:21, "Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." Let me repeat that scripture. "Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." Jerusalem is the house of God where God dwells. This is where God dwells. But the Bible says this, that eventually God said, no, this has gone too far now. This has gone too far. You do not allow me into your lives. I'm no longer going to just stay here. How many know Battersea Power Station? Yeah. How many have noticed one of the chimneys is down? How many of you know, you notice that? Some of you never looked at it. There's three. There was four. If there's three, that means one is down. Don't worry, they're going to build it back up again. They're testing it. Battersea Power Station is a grade two listed building. A grade two listed building. And so this building, basically, the Battersea Power Station, it cannot be just, they can't just remove it. It's an iconic building over London. As long as there's London, there'll be Battersea Power Station. But what they found is that what they found is the towers. They're going to build apartments and different things there. But these towers are not sound in their construction. They're old, the way that they built them. So what they said is, let's knock one of them down. We're going to rebuild it exactly the way it was. Exactly. And once they make sure that that's fine, they're going to build the others. Now, if I said to you, you know, the power station, you all said, yeah, we know what that is. But the reality is Battersea Power Station hasn't produced power since 1983. It hasn't produced any power since 1983. Now, listen, most of you weren't even born. How many know that? Most of you are not born. Some of you were. I was. Don't worry. If you was born, you're in a good crew. You're in my crew. But I want to say this, is that, think about this now. Most of you, that thing has never produced any power the whole time you've been alive, but it's still known as the power station. This is how sometimes our religion is. We're not producing anything anymore. We're just known by what we were producing. Maybe last year, or maybe 2011, or 2010, or 2009, 2008, you were on fire for Jesus. You were doing all that you could for Jesus. And yeah, it was all about Jesus. And now, yeah, I'm the power station. '93, 2000, that's 20 years, man. It's like, come on, man, it's 30 years. This thing ain't produced nothing. Still calling it the power station. Well, that's fine for architecture and for conservation of the heritage of London, but I want to say to you, that doesn't work with God. See, how did these people get there? Is that they made no room for God. Listen, if you want God to dwell with you, you need to make room for him. God had no real place in their life. No real place in their education. No real place in their work, their relationship. You know what I find funny? Is that I speak to many Christians and I talk to them. And when you start to talk to them about things in their life, they look at you as if, well, what's God got to do with that? What's God got to do with that? Like, I can kind of do what I want. And then I prayed and God blesses me. Where did you see that in the Bible? That you can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you just want. And then you just pray, yeah, God will just bless me. What about where you study? What about where you work? How does that affect you? How does that affect your spirituality? Think about these things. So so many times people, yeah, but what's God got to do with that? Well, the problem is this. If you make no room for God in your life, you're going to get to the place of Babylon. If you make no room for God in your life, you will get to this place where the children of Israel got to. See, the next thing is this. Let me tell you what happens here. The next thing is you start to think you know better than God. You start to think, oh, you know what? I know better than God. I can work this out. And after that, then you start to think, well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with a little bit of compromise. The next thing, you end in Babylon. That's what it happens. You made no time for God. You make no space for God. See, if you want the blessing of God, you got to make room for God. God is not a genie. God is not a genie. You can't just do what you want, how you want, and then rub a lamp. And then God comes out and says, you got free wishes. Are you making room for God? Your life, how do you live your life? Is there room for God? Do you consider God in your decisions? Listen what it says here. I'll read a psalm. It says, by the rivers of Babylon. Now, I remember when I got saved, I didn't even know this was a psalm. I thought this was a song. I remember growing up. Some of you be like, what is this? You know, I've never heard. This was a song when I was growing up. By Boney M. I was looking them up today. Let me give you a little trivia here. They're the only group in English history that have had two singles in the top 10 of all time. And both of them, you know, they're funky songs. But anyway, let's go back to the scripture. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. Now, I'm not singing it. We wept. And we remembered Zion. Now, you know, I was thinking this, you know, like, it's just, when something's in your psyche, it's a song, you sing it, you don't know what it's about. But I want you to think about this now. The children of Israel, they are out of their land. They no longer have a king. They used to speak about King David and having a king. They used to have battles and wars and win things. Remember the Queen of Sheba, she comes and looks at the wealth of Solomon and she says, listen, only half of the story has been told. These had glory. Now they're in Babylon, where we sat down, and it says, we weep when we remembered Zion. We weep when we remembered Zion. You know what it is? Is that when they were in Zion, they weren't following God. Now the decisions that they've made have brought them to a place of Babylon. They look back and they were, oh, you know what? It was good in Zion. How many know sometimes we can be in the problem of our own making, looking back thinking, you know what? When I was complaining back there and I didn't want to serve God, I actually had it good. Yes. Have you ever said, listen, this is what it is. They're saying, you know what? We're in Babylon now, and we sit down and we think about when we was in Zion and Jerusalem and the temple and the priests and the word of God, and we could just serve God of our free will, and now we can't. Now we're here having to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Now we're here having to be renamed in pagan names. Now we're here. God, we had it so good. Yes. We had it so good. In Babylon, looking back, Zion looks good, what you had. Let me just say this to some of you here considering backsliding, the insanity of the backslider. You will backslide and look back to today and think this was good. You might be like broke right now. You may not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend right now. You may not have a job right now. You may be going through some things. You may have pain in your body right now. But when you backslide, you will look back to this time and say, you know what? It was good. Let me close with this. Don't worry what's going on out there. We're just delivering a demon. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Listen, when a demon comes to church, then we know we're having church. Amen. That's the real deal. That's the real deal. You read in the Bible. The Bible says that there were demons manifesting themselves. There were demons screaming and shouting and doing all types of things. Some of you have gone pale as this wall. How many of you know God is bigger? Yeah. Hallelujah. We're not mucking about here. Listen, we're not even phased. They're going to deliver that. And then, you know, who knows? They're going to come in there, sit in their right mind, clothed, loving Jesus. Amen. Let me speak about this, and we're going to close this thing off. I'm having a good time up here today. The Bible says that God speaks to them at this point in their life when they're in Babylon, and he says this. He says, listen, I will be there. God, the Lord is there. Let me tell you where there's some hope here, and then we're going to pray. When you're in the consequences of your rebellion, when you are in the consequences of your rebellion, God is still willing to say to you, I will be there. I will be there. Listen, when you are in the consequences, when you've made decisions, when you've done wrong, when you've made mistakes, when you're in a position right now and you're like, you know what, I'm in this position. I should have never done what I did to get in this position. God can still speak to you and say, listen, I'm there. I'm there. When you've lost all dominion, when you think, you know what, I don't even think I can get through this. Listen, God still says, I will be there. See, he gives them a better name than Jerusalem. The Bible says that the name of the city shall be the Lord is there. This is the name of the city. The Lord is there. Can I say to you today is that the thing that God wants, he doesn't want you to control him. He doesn't want you to just ration him. He wants to fill your life. Do you know what I like about this is the Bible didn't say that he's going to call this the temple. He says, no, I'm outside the temple now. This is the whole city. Yes. He says, the name of that city will be the Lord is there. He has redeemed us. And this speaks of, the last thing I want to put here is this is where the hope is. This speaks of a personal presence of God. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. Wherever you are. So many times we it's all about where you've been. Did you go to Oxford or Cambridge? I don't, it's not my testimony, but maybe there's someone here. You know, where you've been, where you've come from. The Bible says, listen, God is saying, that ain't got nothing to do with it. He's saying, this is what brings validity. He says that I'm there. I come to where you are. The Lord is there. Right there where you are. You don't have to run around looking for him. Listen, if you make room for him, if you will make room for him and say, God, I want to open up my whole life to every area of my life, every room, every area. The Bible says you will know him, that you will know him personally. He will come and dwell with you and he will bring dominion to every area of your life. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.